Rebecca4Radio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And welcome to the 4 Fitness Empowerment Show, starring your host, Marie Waldrop. Marie, take it away.
Good morning. This is Marie Waldrop. We have people listening to us from all over the world, especially Greece, from the Isle of Crete. Thank you all for being here. You can call 347-857-3760 to listen in, and if anytime during the show you would like to speak to our special guest with any questions, please press 1 and our producer Maria will put you in the queue to talk to her. Let me start by opening in prayer and then I'll introduce our special guest for the day. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for our special guest we have with us today. We thank you for all that you do for us, all you've done, and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, Ms.
Amen.
Anna Hyatt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a volunteer educator with the Red Cross, and as a lot of people know, the American Red Cross is an organization affiliated with the Red Cross, which is a global organization of volunteers who work to help prevent emergencies, and when emergencies and disasters strike, they go and they volunteer to help lessen the burden. And so I'm here today to talk to people about emergency and disaster preparedness and things that they can do to make plans in advance and lessen emergencies and possibly even avoid emergencies.
That's awesome. And you do all types of emergencies, correct?
We do. The biggest one that we see is, of course, what you see on the news, which are the floods. Those usually happen down in the Gulf Coast. And so we recently had, the Baton Rouge flood, where we raised funds for that and opened up shelters and helped give people a place to go while the floods were happening. But we actually are busy year-round. It's not just when the news stories see the Red Cross. We are always doing blood drives, raising funds, going to schools, going to churches, community events, and letting people know about the things that they can do to be prepared in the event of a storm, for example, or a house fire, or earthquakes, or, you know, God forbid, a tsunami or something more catastrophic happens.
All right, so why don't you tell us a little bit about how they can be prepared in case of a fire or something like that?
I sure will. So my first question is actually back to you. So what would you do if your basic services like water or gas or electricity were cut off, whether that was from a storm or a fire? What do you have a plan in place?
I actually don't.
And see, that's you're not uncommon. A lot of people are like this. We are so busy with our routine days that we just think about the things that are in front of us, our jobs, our goals, our hobbies, and so we don't think about emergencies and make a plan. And so that's the first thing that we ask people to do is think about their homes and what you would do in the event that an emergency would happen. And the most common one, believe it or not, is a storm. It's an electrical storm where the power goes out and people are forced to be without power for several hours. And because we are such a technology-based society, we don't think about, okay, what do I do in the event that my telephone goes out? Because my telephone is operated on electricity. We don't really have those old-fashioned landlines anymore where they can work without electricity. So if your phone went out, well, that means that your internet has gone out. And for a lot of people, like let's say you are somebody who's perhaps deaf, or somebody who is oxygen dependent and needs electricity for your oxygen, you have to have a plan in place, a backup plan that you rehearse in your mind at least, if not in body, in your mind at least twice a year. So that way, in the event that power does go out, you know what to do. It's a little bit like, have you ever taken a CPR class?
I have, but it's been so long ago. They tell you when you do something, you'll always remember it.
which
I
practice
hope
it.
I would, but it's been years and years ago.
So that's another thing. We have a little philosophy that you learn, you practice, and you share. And so we're going to learn today about some things that you can do, and then it's important once you learn them that you practice them. So, for example, if you saw someone who was walking their dog and then they fell down on the ground, probably one of the things that you've learned is to call 911. And so if you saw someone go on the ground, you would have that in the back of your mind, I need to call 911. And that's because you've practiced that in your mind. And so now let's go back to our disaster preparedness. So if there was a storm and if the power went out, one of the things that we want people to do is to have a plan in place. And everyone's plan is going to be a little bit different. So, for example, my plan is I always make sure that I have a backup telephone, whether it's a cell phone that's fully charged or that I do have a landline. I actually do have an actual manual landline in place that I can plug in that doesn't run off of electricity. And I also have an emergency kit in my car so that in the event that I have to evacuate my family from my home, I know that I have enough gas in my car and I have a kit in my car to get us to the next safe place, which for us would be up in Darrington. We have a Red Cross shelter up there. And so by having everybody just take a moment to sit down with their families tonight and maybe talking about emergency plans and saying, okay, if we needed to evacuate our home, do we have an emergency kit in our car, and do we have a plan where we would go to, whether it's a relative's house, whether it's a Red Cross shelter? So that's the first thing I'd really love for people to do, is to sit down with their families and make a plan, whether it's a plan to have food in the home, have a kit in place, or just to be informed about an emergency preparedness. Those are three things that people can do.
Now, so when you say a kit, what does that entail? What's in a kit?
So, yeah, that's a great question. So a kit is, number one, food, because we think about the first three things that we need. It's going to be food, water, and of course, shelter. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, too. But let's talk about food. So let me switch over to my slide here for kits. A kit is something that you have that's portable. It's about the size of a pillowcase, and it has non-perishable food in it, a couple of bottles of water to get you through the next 24 hours, a first aid kit in the event that there's an emergency and somebody gets injured. So that's going to contain things like tape, gauze, bandages, alcohol wipes, things that a first aid kit should have. And then we also want to make sure that people have their medicines, because a lot of people nowadays take prescription medicines. And you don't think about that in emergency. You don't think about the next 24 to 48 hours to the next 7 days where maybe you do need to take a blood pressure medicine, for example, or lisinopril or some sort of, even sleep medicines, if you need medicines to help you get to sleep. In the event that you have to evacuate, you want to make sure that you have a 7-day supply of medicines in your first aid kit. that can help get you by. Because if you were to come to a Red Cross shelter, we would definitely have food for you. We would definitely have a cot for you to sleep in. We would have shelter, but we wouldn't have your medicines on hand, and it would take us a few days to actually get those. And so by having a good, you know, at least a day supply, but if you could have a 7-day supply, that's even better, of your prescription medicines that are all set and ready to go, that buys us some time that we can help get you those medicines. So that's what I pretty much mean by a kit. Now, let's take one more step forward. Let's say you are not going to evacuate, but you are in a storm or in an emergency, and you are having to stay in your home. Again, having that 7-day supply of medicines in place really helps you out, because we don't know when that electricity is going to come back on again or when roads are going to be safe to travel. Because I don't know about your area, but in Washington State, when we have storms, a lot of times that'll blow down trees, and people can't necessarily even get out of their neighborhoods until those trees get cleared. And it's more than one tree, it's several trees. And so it takes a while for the emergency crews to come through, clear those roads, and make it safe for people to drive. And so if you have a food supply in place, if you have your medicines in place, that really helps you out and gets you ahead of the game so that your emergency isn't such an emergency. It's more you're staying in your home and you're being safe. So now let's also talk about lighting in your home, because a lot of people need light to get around. A lot of people think that candles are a great way to provide a second set of light. And it is to a certain degree, but what we found is in emergencies, one of the biggest causes of fire is that people light all these candles and then walk away and forget about them. And then the candles burn down, the wax spills out, and then something catches on fire. And then not only do you have one emergency going on, but you have two. You have a fire in your home during a storm, which is not a good thing. So something that we do tell people to put into that kit, going back to the topic of the kit, is a flashlight. And not just one flashlight, but several flashlights are even better. And then making sure that those batteries to those flashlights are charged, so that way you have more than one flashlight to get you through in case the power outage goes for a long, long time. I know I'm throwing quite a lot of information out there. Any questions about this so far?
No, I mean, it's really good information to have, and you're right. You know, the first thing that I would want to grab if I didn't have a flashlight would be a candle, you know, for like that.
Exactly. And a candle is a useful thing. I don't want people to necessarily be afraid of candles and if that's their only source of light, but you just have to be way more mindful of them than you do a flashlight. And so if you do find yourself in a situation where your candle is your only source of light, I always tell people put that candle in a sink, either a sink in the kitchen or a sink in your bathroom. And so that way if the candle does accidentally knock over, if it does get forgotten about, it's not going anywhere. It's in a contained area where there's a water source to put it out, and it's not going to, say, for example, fall over onto the floor and cause a fire. And there's not going to be a towel, for example, falling onto it and catching on fire as well.
And that's a really great idea.
Yeah. So do you mind if we talk about fire a little bit since we're on the topic?
No, we can talk about fire. I know that I can just tell you that my dad, he didn't have insurance on his home, and his house caught on fire and destroyed everything.
Oh, my gosh. And that is so catastrophic. It really is. People don't realize, even if you have insurance and your home burns down, you lose so much in your house fire. You lose your pictures. You lose your sense of security. And it takes a long, long time to rebuild again. And so what do you do in the meantime? So I am so sorry for your dad. That is a real tragedy. I hope he's okay.
Yes, thank you.
So with house fires, the first important thing for people to realize is it's not like in the movies. It's not where you have this dramatic rescue where it all happens very slowly and things are just kind of going along like a movie plot. Fires actually happen really quickly. And what we tell people in our Red Cross house fire training is you have less than 2 minutes to get you and your loved ones out of that home. And so we want people to have awareness of fires, and the first thing that they can do is put a smoke alarm in their home. On each level of their house, if there's a smoke alarm, that buys you time. And I know people don't like smoke alarms because they tend to go off for many reasons. They go off because someone burned the toast, or they go off because there's just some, maybe there's a barbecue going on next door. But that smoke alarm is doing its job. It's telling you, hey, I'm detecting smoke, and I need you to do something about it. So even though it does tend to go off, and the running joke about smoke alarms is it's the cooking timer. That's what my husband calls it, the cooking timer. It is doing its job when it goes off. And so it's very important when you have a smoke alarm to check its batteries twice a year and to not take it down just because it's annoying you. If it's annoying you in its current location, maybe move it into the next room over if it's in the kitchen. But that smoke alarm is a very, very essential tool, and it's important that each home has one. And a lot of people don't know this, but the Red Cross does do free smoke alarm insertions into homes. And so if you're in a home or a trailer, for example, and you don't have a smoke alarm, you can contact your local Red Cross and be put on their smoke alarm installation list. And we will eventually get out to your home and install a free smoke alarm.
Well, that's great to know, because there's probably a lot of people that just don't think about it or don't have the money, you know. And that's
exactly. Exactly. It's a really good safety feature that anyone and everyone should have. And so with that smoke alarm, once it's going off, it's important that people have two escape routes to get in and out of their homes. And while that's easy for larger homes, for smaller homes, that's a challenge. And it's also a challenge for, let's say, the elderly or people who don't have a whole lot of a mobility, because we do have folks that it's not very easy for them to get around. And so by having a plan in place that you think about twice a year, again, I keep focusing on that twice a year, check your smoke alarm twice a year, think about your escape plan twice a year, that's going back to that practicing what you would do in the event of an emergency. So you want to have two escape routes out of your home. You want to have, let's say, the normal way out the front door, but then also think, okay, if that front door is blocked, if for some reason I can't get out that front door, I want to have an alternate route that I can get out of this home and that everyone can get out of the home. So maybe it's a back door. Maybe it's a window. If you're up on, let's say my son, his bedroom is up on the second floor, and so he actually has a ladder. It's a rope ladder that we practice him being able to get down this ladder in the event of an emergency. Now, we might have to take that away during his teenage years, but for now, for safety, we want to make sure that in the event of a fire and he can't get out, that he has a second way of escaping, so that way we can make sure that everyone is safe. Because, again, in the event of a catastrophic fire, you have less than 2 minutes to get out of that home, so you want to make sure that you can get out safely and effectively. So now, let's say, for example, we have had our fire, we've managed to get everyone out of the home. What do we need to do next? Well, we need to talk in our safety plan about where we're going to meet. So as a family, it's really important that everyone says, okay, in the event that something happens and we have to escape from the home, we are going to meet in the parking lot across the street from our home. And the reason why I've chosen for my family a parking lot across the street from our home is the odds of that parking lot being a safe place are pretty darn good. I know that in the event of an earthquake, that's not going to be covered in rubble. I know in the event of a fire, that's not going to be a place where the fire is going to be. And so my family knows that if we have to escape, that we're going to go to that safe place. And that way we can take a head count and account for everybody being safe. And that way when the fire department comes to me and says, is everyone out of your home, I can look around very easily and say, yes, everyone's out of my home. And that also includes pets. People don't think about their pets a lot of times when there are emergencies, but also having an escape plan to get your pets out and keep them contained while the emergency is going on. And so that can be something as simple as putting them in your car and having the car over in the parking lot while there's a fire going on.
Right, because that can be really scary for animals.
Exactly. And people don't realize when there's a crisis, you're looking in your house and saying, oh, my gosh, Fluffy is still in the house. I'm going to run back in and save Fluffy. If you already have an escape plan in place for your cat or your dog, then you don't have that situation. That emergency becomes less. And really, that's the whole point of all of this, is just making a plan in advance in the event that an emergency happens. It doesn't mean it will happen. And by thinking about this and planning in advance, it doesn't mean that you're inviting it to happen. It's just being prepared.
And that's really good to be prepared. And like you said earlier, a lot of us, we don't think about, you know, having a plan to be prepared in case of an emergency. We just go on about our busy day.
Right. So now let's talk a little bit. I'm going to go back to your dad again, if you don't mind. Would that be okay?
That's fine.
One of the things I'm willing to bet while he was recovering from this fire was he was missing documents. Was that a real struggle for him to try and find documents or replace documents after the fire?
Not really, because he had my older sister was taking care of most of his stuff, and we had bought him a a fire safe, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, and I'm so glad you did that, because that is actually one of the things that you can do to be prepared in the event of an emergency, is having your documents and your vital records in a fire safe, or what's also called a safe deposit box. And what that is a box that you can purchase either on Amazon or down at the hardware store that you keep your documents in that is fire safe. And so in the event that there's a catastrophic fire, for example, or an earthquake, that box is going to keep those documents safe so that you can have an easier time recovering after the disaster. And so it's going to contain things like Social Security cards, birth and marriage certificates, passports, deeds, financial information. And by having those in a safe box, or what we call a fire safe, that will keep those documents safe and contained so that in the event that you do have a disaster, it's much, much easier to rebuild and recover. Because a lot of times insurance will ask for that information, or different organizations will ask for that information to help you out.
Yeah, he was just really blessed to have those in the safe, you know, because he did lose everything in the home. And he lost his car, because his car was sitting really close to it. But thank God he was at my older sister's house when it all took place.
Well, I'm glad. I'm most of all glad that everyone got out okay. So another thing, let's go back to the kit and talk about the kit a little bit. Because one of the things that I love to have people do is, and again, it goes back to this practicing twice a year, if you're going to make a kit and have it be a kit that you can take with you in your car, it's really good to keep your kit up to date and to check expiration dates, the food, the water, the batteries, and refresh that at least every 6 months. And what's great about, again, that twice a year, every 6 months philosophy is it does keep your plan in place. It does make you look around a little bit at your disaster plan and say, does this plan still work for me? Because something that we find a lot of times is that people's lives change over 6 months. They change very dramatically. And, for example, with an elderly person, maybe their mobility changes, or maybe you end up getting a dog, or something changes in your life. And so by having that plan and reviewing it every 6 months, you can make changes for the changes that have happened in your life. And so by keeping your kit up to date, that's an actual visual reminder for you to say, okay, I need to change my batteries and my smoke alarm. I need to talk with my family again about what our disaster plan is and what we're going to do.
And those are all really good ideas to have in place. And we have about 4 minutes left before we close, so if there's any last-minute things you would like to say or tell people how they can contact you.
Oh,
actually,
sure.
Actually, let me interrupt. We do have a caller, Marie, and your caller
okay.
is Connie. And here is
okay.
Connie.
Hi, Connie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What can I answer for you?
Well, what I wanted to ask is, what type of food would you have in that kit?
The most important thing is that it's a non-perishable item. And so you want to think along the lines of protein bars, a very inexpensive item you can have in your kit that's nice and lightweight are ramen bricks. Those only cost about 10 cents a piece. They last for...
I'm not sure what those are. Is that bread or...
So what ramen is it's a soup. It's a dried
ramen.
Soup.
Okay,
yes.
I know exactly. I thought you said ramen, and I thought, what is that? Okay, ramen, that makes sense, and some protein bars.
And protein bars, things that you know that you can eat and enjoy and digest, because that's one of the things that people do a lot of times with their disaster kits. That's maybe not the best thing to do is they buy something that technically will help them survive, but is something that they would never, ever want to eat, like concentrated beef stew. I cannot imagine if I'm an emergency that I would want to eat beef stew that comes out of a green packet. So I want it to be something that's familiar to me, that I know I would want to eat, and that my 7-year-old son would want to eat in the event of an emergency. So it's going to be a personal item that you like, that you know is non-perishable, that's lightweight, and can get you through with a lot of calories. So something high in calories like ramen, like a protein bar, something that's not going to melt, because I know a lot of people look at chocolate and they say, oh, well, this chocolate will be wonderful. Well, chocolate melts, unfortunately, and cookies go stale. So you want to think along the lines of, is it edible? Is it something that's non-perishable? Is it something that we would enjoy? And so it's going to be your own personal choice. For us, it's ramen and protein bars.
That makes sense to me. Okay. Thank you for that answer. Because I was wondering when you were talking about food, what kind would be the best to put in it.
Yeah. And then here's another good thing to think about is, in the event of an emergency, how are you going to find out what's going on? And you'll love this, Maria, is that radios are the best communication method out there. And so by having a battery-operated radio in your car, like in your trunk in your emergency kit, you can get onto that emergency broadcast station and find out what's going on in the event of an emergency. So thinking about just your average basic little radio, having one on hand that you can use.
Okay, that's great. So we're going to go ahead and close out right now.
Okay, well, thank you so much for letting me come and talk on your radio station. I hope I didn't talk too much.
Oh, no, you give us a lot of helpful information that a lot of people needed to know about, and I really appreciate you being on today and sharing.
Well, thank you again. I appreciate it. And if anybody needs to get any information from the Red Cross, it's just redcross.org. You'll enter in your zip code, and they will put you in touch with your local Red Cross organization.
Okay, and how can they get a hold of you or just go to the Red Cross like what you said?
The easiest thing is just to go to redcross.org.
Okay, that's great. Well, we're going to close out with prayer. Lord, we thank you for Anna coming on and sharing with us today on how to be prepared in case of a disaster. Lord, we thank you for our listeners. Lord, and we thank you for this beautiful day. We give you all the praise. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
He says if I leave, he will kill me.
He was sobbing and swore it would never happen again.
He's under so much stress. I'm really the only one who understands him.
He says he can't live without me.
I have nowhere else to go.
Nobody would believe me. If you are in an abusive relationship, it often feels as though you've lost your voice. You deserve a better life, and there is help.
Call 1-800-799-SAFE or go to thehotline.org.
Let your voice be heard.
She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls is proud to have as our charity of choice Man Up Crusade. Man Up is working in the Western world to reduce domestic violence in society and contribute to social change by promoting safe and healthy relationships. Growing up in a violent home is one of the most terrifying and traumatic experiences a child can go through. Let's work together to help those afflicted to stand and know they're not alone. Find out more at manupcrusade.com. Take a stand and break the cycle of domestic violence.
ForRadio.com.